Hannah Esther.
Connie here. I'm here.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. There is a class today, right?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure being Easter if it was or not.
No, always.
Are you still there?
I'm here. I'm just on mute.
Oh, okay. Mine went dead. I didn't know if I lost the call. That's okay.
Hannah.
Morning. Hannah.
Hi. Hugs Amaya.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Hatsumea.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoas. Anna Bakoas. Gedula Chemin Sa Tati. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Lagibor Dorshe Hudcha Kivavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The letters of the month of Nisan, the Dalet that created the planet Mars, the planet Ma'adim, the planet of battle, the battle of conflict, the battle of confrontation. And the hay that created the constellation Talay, the lamb or the ram. Together, the Dalet and the hay can be translated as opening a door to the physical world or from the physical world. That choice is yours. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkarcha tami gamlem betet resh tzadi tav gimel chasin kadosh birov tucha na'el adatach petsuf bet tet nunayim yachid geyeh Lamcha pene zokre kedushatach yudgimalamed peizayin kuf shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodeya talumot shin kufav tzadiyutach. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy within that creation. We will use the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, The Rav Chesed the Emet, Notzer Chesed Lalafim, Noseawon Wafesha, the Chata'a Vinakei. Now we will connect to the energy of this year, the year of the goats, using two verses from the Tanakh. The first verse we will study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai nam. When we take the first letter of these five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to parse them into, or permute them into two Hebrew words, Dir Yam, which can be translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, concealed within it. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. The verse is Joshua chapter 23. Verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5776, which is the year of the pause. The pause between one level of negativity and another level of negativity. Within your own life, when you're feeling overwhelmed, these verses that we will study for the year of the pause are very helpful. First verse we will study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot vayechaskum achechem halevim ad kelot hamlacha yad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim Yishrei Levav Leitkadesh Me HaKohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to parse them, permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Alame Hey 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 Aka A Reka Ha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 is the second verse connecting to this year of the pause. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Ade ad kibia yo hey Adonai yo hey wahe tzur olamim. The year 5775, the year of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The next verse is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoiya. Asher yitabe sham wishavtem elai el nachom wichalakti yitzen wichayayim yeshno baretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is Job chapter 20 verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach Yoved Roav Yom Ru Ayom. The year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. This verse is the only verse in the Tanakh with this energy. And it is 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. And if we do not say this often enough during a week, we will see the results in rockets. God forbid, especially in this month of Nisan. Wisamti makom leami leYisrael untati vishakan takta below your gaz. Od below Yosifu, Fine Avlala Anoto Ka Asher Barishona. We're now going to read a verse from Parasha Yitro, from the Zohar commentary on the Tanakh, the Zohar Sulam. It's going to be Pasuk 29, and we will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bithilu urchimud hilud hilu urchimu le'achda l'shem yud he bavav he b'yehudah shalim b'shem kol Yisrael le'mud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah mitzvah Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adeinu konane aleinu maasei adeinu konanehu. Rabbi Abba amar bekama atar tanenan dekudsha perifu koma diaved leila witata kolaihu kishot yovada dikshot Beleid lach mila bi alma divae parnash vadahya leya mineya ulan haga beya kalana dehakuru vada di ikshot inun wikola itzterif be alma. And now we will scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who left this day. Which is the 20th day of Nisan, started last night, continues until sundown tonight. Rabbi Yecheskel Penei of Carlsberg, he is the son of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yaakov of Maglodica, he is the son of Rabbi Elimelech of Lizanch, a very famous Tzaddik Nistar. And as I said last night, in our generation, we only have the hidden tzaddikim, the tzaddikim nestar, the concealed tzaddikim. The revealed tzaddikim in our generation, at the present time in the world, are not like our previous generation tzaddikim. Rabbi Chai Bar Sherira the Geon, Rabbi Yitzhak Hori Adayan, Rabbi Yitzhak Dober of Liadi. And since for many of us we won't be dealing with the Tzaddikim from the 21st of Nisan. Well, I'm going to mention it here like I do every Sunday when we don't really have a class below in the evening. Rabbi Shmuel Shapiro and Rabbi Shimon Yisrael Posen. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class can be found on the unique astrological times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. When you open that up, you have to scroll down. To just after Rosh Chodesh Adar, where there is a link. It's in a section titled Preparation for the Spring Holidays, and the link is the first one under that title. Preparation for the Holidays of Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot. When you open up that link, you get a link, a series of links. And please scroll down to where you find class 10. It is the second link under the section titled The Preparation for the Omer Period. We will not be discussing the Omer Period per se. because we have a lot to discuss about Pesach seventh day, Shavii Pesach, and also the eighth day of Pesach, which occurs outside of Israel, but is actually very important with respect to what we will discuss. And on this handout, it's rather lengthy, and it's literally 2 hours of classes, and we don't have the time today for 2 hours of class. So I will be skipping sections of this, and I will try and keep you informed as I scroll down through this page. But I am starting at the beginning, which is titled The Preparation for the Seventh Day of Pesach and also the Omer. Now, we are in the Omer period, and I am not sure when we will actually go into the in-depth of the Omer, whether it will be replacing questions and answers for this Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or whether we will delay until the Sunday, this coming Sunday. But there's a lot of material in that week that's this coming Sunday, a lot of energy days that need to be discussed. So I have mixed feelings, and it will really depend on whether people bring questions to the questions and answers session. The seventh day of Pesach. The secret to the seventh day of Pesach is not the splitting of the Yam Suf, although that is the physical event that happened. But we know the physical events always have a spiritual cause. And that's what we're going to try and reach in this class today. The event that best, or the verse from the Tanakh that best exemplifies the issue, the spiritual issue, is from the prophet Habakkuk. The prophet Habakkuk is a very interesting person in that he was the child who was resurrected by the prophet Elisha. The verse that exemplifies the energy of the Pesach Shavii, the seventh day, is chapter 2, verse 4. Hine afala afla lo yishre nafsho bo v'tzadik v'emonato hiye. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Please look at the last three words of this prophecy. The tzaddik be'emunato yihyeh. The translation, and the righteous will live with faith. Remember that Nachshon ben Aminadav listened to Moses telling the people what Hashem has said, go forward into the sea. He did that with certainty, which is a higher level than faith. Yet the prophet is telling us we just need that lowest level called Emunah for us to split the sea of limitations, the Yam Suf in our lives. This is the sea of ends that we have created in our own lives. Tonight, the 16th of April of the year 2017, at midnight, the waters of the world will split once again, each and every year. The question is, will you have elevated yourself sufficiently, spiritually, to be able to see that sea split. But there is great benefit and great revelation of light just to try. But before we learn how to do that, let's learn a little more about these three Hebrew words, faith, emunah, trust, bitachon, and vadai, certainty. The word emunah translates as faith, has a gematria of 102. For faith to be complete, it must have a complete structure of 10 sephirot. This then adds 10 to 102 and makes 112. 112 is the word yabok, yud bet kuf, which is the name of the river that Jacob crossed back over when he went to wrestle the angel of Esau, who is called Satan. Now, Jacob probably did not know that that's what was going to happen. But he made a mistake. It was nighttime and he crossed over the river Yabok, this number of 112. But when he did so, he was alone. And it's not recommended to be out and about alone in the evening. To understand the meaning of Yabok, we need to relate to a spiritual law that when one reveals one thing, he conceals two things. This esoteric teaching applies to the relationship between faith, emunah, bitachon, trust, and vadai, certainty. There are three names of God that deal with this esoteric teaching and these three Hebrew words. The lowest name is the name Elohim. This relates to the one revealed item, which is emunah, faith. In order for emunah to be complete in its structure of 10 sephirot, it must include the emotions represented by the middle three sephirot of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. These more completely relate to the idea of bitachon, trust, which is an emotion connection. Trust is not logical, since almost everyone lets someone down sometime. Bitachon, trust, is necessary to rise to the highest level of vadai, certainty. Vadai is the level of mind, which includes both the intellect of Bina and the intuition of Chachma. Part of intuition is the higher order of emotion. Mind also includes the Sephirah of Keter. And this is how the 10 Sephirot become added to Emunah to reach Yabok, the Gematria of 112 level of consciousness. Elohim deals with emunah, with faith. The four-letter name referred to as Hashem's name, or the tetragrammaton, refers to bitachon, trust. And the name Echie, Aleph Hei Yud Hei, refers to the level of vadai and bina. Remember, we must always realize that bina is always in unity with Chachma and Keter. And this applies to us even when we are not conscious of our unconscious. Now that we have an inkling of the meaning of these three names and the Sephirot as it relates to the consciousness of Emunah, Bitachon, and Vadai, we can look more closely at Yabok, the Gematria of 112. The Gematria of Elohim is 86. The Gematria of Hashem's name is well known to be 26, while the Gematria of Echie is 21. Now, when Elohim unifies with the Hashem's name, we reach the consciousness of Yabok with a gematria of 86 plus 26, which equals 112. And this is the unity of the physical world with the spiritual world of Zeranpin. Now, we all know that when we see Hashem's name on the Torah scroll, we say Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which has a gematria of 65. What is the difference between the name Adonai and the name Elohim? It is well understood and well taught in Kabbalah that Elohim is the name that personifies the idea of judgment. That is why the gematria of the Hebrew word Hateva, nature, is spelled with a gematria of 86. This coincidence, and I don't mean coincidence in the English word, teaches us the relationship between the name Elohim and the energy of judgment. This is because our natural laws in the physical world are based on judgment. Essentially, nature is a process of judgment. Yabok is also reached through the unification of Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, plus Hashem's name, plus Echieh. Thus, it is 65 plus 26 plus 21, which equals 112. This teaches the consciousness of Yabok, representing the unification of all three levels, that of faith, emunah, plus trust, bitachon, plus certainty, vadai. The Kabbalists teach that this consciousness is calling upon the level of miracles, coming from the partsuf of Keter, or the partsuf name is Atik. This is what happened at the splitting of the Yam Suf, in order to split the Sea of End. It took the unification of Emunah, faith, plus Bitachon, trust, plus Vadai, certainty, as demonstrated by Nachshon ben Aminadav when he walked into the sea above his nostrils, as described in the Midrash. This action is what brought the activation of miracles from Atik. This action and reaction from Atik is also available to us during this holiday of the seventh day of Pesach. What miracles do you need in your life? In order to truly understand the energy of miracles, in this case of reaching Yabok, which is a spiritual consciousness, we need to understand a statement in the Torah that doesn't make any sense. When the children of Israel are camped at the edge of the Yam Suf, the Sea of End. Behind them is Pharaoh and his hordes. To the left and to the right of them are wild animals ready to tear them to pieces, or so they would think. And ahead of them is drowning in the sea of the Yam Suf. What do you do when you are in a box? The first step is to remember you created the box. But the normal human reaction, the normal human action, is to cry out to God for help. And in chapter 14, verse 15 of Exodus, of the book of Shemot, in the Parasha B'Shalach. God answers these cries with the statement, Matitzach alai, why are you crying to me? You created these. You have the tools in the Kabbalah, in the 72 names of God, in the consciousness of Yabok. You have the tools to create the miracles that remove the blockages that you have created. This is the energy of the seventh day of Pesach. Now let's scroll down past the reading of the Torah service and past the items to study on the seventh day of Pesach, although it is highly recommended that you read these sections. To where it says Hanoch's edition. Another Kabbalistic minhag is to circle a bowl of water while singing the song of the sea, which begins, it's the reading, it's part of the reading of the Parasha B'Shalach. It's describing the song that the children of Israel sang after they crossed the Yam Suf. It starts, Az Yashir Moshe. Az, then, Yashir. We'll sing Moshe, Moses. Az, Aleph Zion, is a Hebrew word that translates as then. But then actually is the number 8. And I'm going to laughingly say the parasha this coming Shabbat is known as the 8th, Shemini. When you reach the 8th Sefirah, when you reach Bina, consciousness, then Moses within you, and you are unified with Moses, will sing with joy, will sing many different things, all related to appreciation, happiness, completion, so many miracles. This Kabbalistic minhag is to just have a bowl of water or a glass of water and to sing Az Yashir Moshe, the whole song of the sea, just as the children of Israel did after the splitting of the Yam Suf. Circle this bowl and look to see, expect to see the splitting of the Yam Suf, the splitting of the water in the glass, in the bowl, in the ocean, because every particle, every atom of water splits and disconnects from every other atom in order to achieve this miracle, this goal. This contra the natural tendencies. Expect to see it. But just striving to see it reveals light. Actually seeing it, the revelation is more complete. It's an easy action to do. Walk around in a circle while you sing the Az Yashir Moshe. Men should circle counterclockwise, and women should circle clockwise. It's too long to go into an explanation of why this is true. But men and women are physically different, emotionally different, mentally, psychology different, psychologically different, and spiritually, they are one soul. So to keep balance, men go in one direction, counterclockwise, and women go in the other direction, clockwise. Like the Seder night, the seventh day of Pesach is a night of song and praise. And I don't want to read the rest of this paragraph, but after the counting of the Omer tonight, feel free to return to it. I'm scrolling down again. And there are many sections that I recommend you read. The Rebbe's, the Chabad Rebbe's teaching on the seventh day of Pesach is profound, but it's really very simple. We are not celebrating a historical event. Please remember that. We never, in the religion of Judaism, ever do anything to celebrate an historical event. I know that's counter to what people are taught by the rabbis in the historical discussions and the reasons for various holidays. But especially tonight, this brings you down from Bina consciousness. We do not ever do anything because of physical events in history. We are always striving to connect to the spiritual cause of that physical event. There are many different thoughts written on this webpage. Please read them at your leisure. They're important. They will help you be able to see the splitting of the water when you circle. I'm going to read this section called The Four Factions because it is helpful to understand this in our lives. And it may mean that we go a little bit over in time in this class, and I apologize for that. The Four Factions. Our forefathers experienced just such a rude awakening on the seventh day after their exodus from Egypt. 10 devastating plagues had broken the might of the Egyptians and forced them to let the children of Israel go. After 2 centuries of exile and slavery, the children of Israel were headed toward Mount Sinai in their covenant with God as his Yam Segula, translated incorrectly as his chosen people. but actually the meaning is the children of the three column system. And their appointment to become a light unto the nations. And this, indeed, this is what the stated purpose of the Exodus, the redemption, was all about. Skipping down to the next paragraph. Oh, no, actually, I need to read this whole paragraph. When you take this nation out of Egypt, you will serve God at this mountain. But suddenly the sea was before them with Pharaoh's armies closing in from behind. Egypt was alive and well, and the sea also seemed oblivious to the destiny of this newly born nation. How did they react? The Midrash Mechilta says that the Jewish people were divided into four camps. The children of Israel were into four camps. We all know the meaning of the four. There are those who said, "Let us throw ourselves into the sea." A second group said, "Let us return to Egypt." Death is superior to slavery, or slavery is superior to death. Those are the first two. A third faction argued, "Let us wage war upon the Egyptians. Maybe we'll win." And finally, a fourth camp advocated, "Let us pray to God." Moses rejected all four options. There was another option that only Moses was on the level of Bina consciousness and was able to see. And his statements to the children of Israel, recorded in the Torah, "Fear not, stand by and see the salvation of Hashem, which he will show you today. For as you have seen Egypt this day, you shall not see them again forever. Hashem shall fight for you, and you shall be silent. Fear not. Stand by and see the salvation of Hashem," is the fifth option. It's Moses' response to those in despair who want to plunge into the sea. "As you have seen Egypt this day, you shall not see them again." And this is addressed to those who advocated surrender and return to Egypt. "Hashem will fight for you" is the answer to those who wish to battle the Egyptians. "And you shall be silent" is Moses' rejection of those who said, "All we can do is pray." What then is the children of Israel to do when caught between a hostile world and an unyielding sea? "Speak to the children of Israel," God says to Moses, "that they shall go forward." This is the answer to every blockage in your life. Maybe you need to go around the blockage. But Moses is telling us we need to go forward into the blockage so that it will break. And this is the miracles that we draw down when we reach Bina consciousness. And we only do this one day a year. But we have the potential to do it every day of the year. That one day a year is Yom Kippur. But other days we have the potential, if we would just strive, to remember, move forward. We're about to go into the discussion of the eighth day. I'm not going to read this section, the tzaddik in the fur coat, but it's an important lesson to learn. but we're going to go into the discussion of the eighth day. The eighth day of Pesach. There's only one section that I've recorded here. I just did it today. I didn't make any commentary, but I will verbalize commentary as we go through it. The eighth day of Pesach only happens outside of Israel. Why? Actually, the followers of the Chabad organization who live in Israel also have an eighth-day Suda, but they do it on the seventh day. After the sea splits during the night at midnight, the next day they have a Suda. Everyone has a Suda on the seventh day, but the eighth-day Suda is extremely important, as we shall learn. It is known as the Suda of Mashiach. The last day of Pesach has a special connection to the coming of the Mashiach and is celebrated accordingly by partaking of the Mashiach's Suda. Sometimes it is known as the third Seder. Sometimes we have to remember, and on the physical level, many people have the Suda the eighth day to eat up all the matzah they didn't eat up in the first 7 days. But I caution you, there is a second Pesach, Pesach Sheni, coming in the month of Iyar. So save a little bit of matzah to make that connection with the energy of the second chances that Hashem has given us in His mercy. The last day of Pesach, I'm continuing to read. The last day of Pesach is celebrated by eating a special festive banquet called Mashiach Suda, a custom initiated by the Baal Shem Tov. The connection between the last day of Pesach and Mashiach is explained by the fifth Chabad Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. The last day of Pesach is the conclusion of that which began on the first night of Pesach. The first night of Pesach is our festival commemorating our redemption from Egypt by Hashem. It was the first redemption carried out through Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first Redeemer. It was the beginning. The last day of Pesach is our festival commemorating the final redemption, when the Holy One, blessed be He, will redeem us from the last exile through our righteous Mashiach, who is the final Redeemer. The first day of Pesach is Moshe Rabbeinu's festival. The last day of Pesach is Mashiach's festival. Pesach is the festival which celebrates freedom. The first day celebrates the redemption from the first exile. The last day celebrates the future redemption from the final exile. That exile we are living through right now. The two are intimately connected, as we know, the beginning and the end of one process with God, in the future redemption showing wonders, as in the days of your exodus from Egypt. Kabbalistic teaching is that the end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end. The first and the eighth day are connected. That Mashiach's festival is celebrated specifically on the last day of Pesach is not merely because Mashiach will redeem us from this last exile. Being last has a significance beyond mere numerical order, for that which is last performs a unique function. When the Jews journeying in the desert after leaving Egypt, they marched in a specific order, divided into four camps. The last to march was the camp of Dan, which is described by Torah as Ma'asaf Lechol HaMachanot, the gatherer of all the camps. Rashi explains this as meaning that the tribe of Dan would journey last, and whoever would lose anything, it would be restored to him. What have you lost through these long years of exile? It will all be restored to you. This is the teaching. There was a time in my life that my net worth was in significant dollar amounts. I have lost that. I have lost that through my own mistakes. I have lost that with not having connection to Hashem. I have lost that. But it's promised me, it's prophesied to me. It will be restored. And perhaps it already is, in a different realm, in a different way than my expectation was. Oh, you had significant wealth, you lost it, that wealth will be returned to you. Or maybe it will be substituted. Instead of money, it will be light. I'd rather have the light. The concept of gatherer of all the camps, restoring lost property and making sure that nothing is missing, may be applied to various situations. The Baal Shem Tov, for example, taught that just as the Jews in the desert made 42 journeys before they reached their final destination, Eretz Yisrael, so there are 42 journeys in each Jew's individual life. The birth of a person corresponds to the initial journey when the Jews left the land of Egypt. And at each stage of life, a Jew is somewhere in the middle of one of these 42 journeys he must experience before he enters the next world. Not only a person's entire life, but also every individual service to Hashem has various stages or journeys. In particular, the conclusion of a specific service acts as the gatherer of all the camps to make sure that nothing is missing from that service. Pesach, it was noted earlier, is associated with the concept of redemption. And our service on Pesach is correspondingly directed towards hastening the arrival of the final redemption. But even if service on Pesach was deficient, if opportunities were missed, not all is lost. This last day of Pesach acts as the gatherer of all the camps for the entire festival, and for our entire year and all history of years in this lifetime. Just as the tribe of Dan, and Dan is cognate, sounds like Din, which is judgment, he restored lost articles to their owners. So the last day of Pesach provides a Jew or a child of Israel with the opportunity to rectify omissions in the service of Pesach and thereby regain what is rightfully his. And in this sentence by the Rebbe of Chabad, describing the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, the service of Pesach, substitute for the word Pesach, for the service of your tikkun. Continuing to read. Because Pesach is associated with the redemption through Mashiach, and the last day of Pesach is the finish to and completion of Pesach, the last day of Pesach accordingly emphasizes the coming of Mashiach. The notion of the gatherer of all the camps applies not only to each individual child of Israel, to their life and their service, but also to the nation as a whole, in general. The 42 journeys between leaving Egypt and entering Eretz Yisrael take place in the desert, which is the wilderness of the nations, which is an allusion to the period of exile when the children of Israel sojourn among the nations of the earth. The 42 journeys in the desert served as the means wherewith the children of Israel left the limitations of Egypt. Thus, all the journeys undertaken until the children of Israel actually enter Eretz Yisrael, they may be viewed as part of the exodus from Egypt. So also with the journeys in the exile, until the children of Israel merit the final redemption, they are still journeying to reach Eretz Yisrael. In every generation, the children of Israel are somewhere in the middle of one of those 42 journeys. As in the journeys in the desert, there is a gatherer of all the camps in the generation's long journey of the children of Israel to the Messianic era. Our present generation is that of the footsteps of Mashiach, but we are the last generation of exile. It is the gatherer of all the camps of all the generations of the children of Israel. That this generation of exile is the gatherer of all the camps of all generations, it's not just because it is the last. Exile is not just a punishment for our sins, as many would have you believe. The mission of Jews is to elevate and refine this physical world, to reveal godliness and to transform the physical into a dwelling place for Hashem. Dispersed throughout the world in exile, the children of Israel have been given the opportunity and the means to carry out this mission in all parts of the world. And this explains the Rebbe's discussion of why he never wanted any particular Jewish community in any part of the world to be gathered into Israel, into the modern state of Israel, because you lose that connection to that part of the world. On the other hand, when a Jewish community is gathered into the modern state of Israel, it's an indication that that part of the world is ready for the Mashiach. Continuing to read, this has been the children of Israel's task throughout history. Gatherer of all the camps in this context means that if any portion of that task is missing, it now can be rectified. Thus, the era of the gatherer of all the camps is the era when the world will have been fully refined and godliness will be revealed. This is the era of Mashiach. It is for this reason that in our generation, which is that of the footsteps of Mashiach and the gatherer of all the camps, for the service of the children of Israel throughout the generations has been all but completed, and only the finishing touches, the gatherer of all the camps, is needed. We stand ready and prepared to greet Mashiach. Are you ready to greet Mashiach? Is the question. And for unfortunately for too many, the answer to that question is, I like my comfort zone. I like my wealth. I like my home. I like my freedom to do what I want when I want. But in time, and maybe overnight, the Shia consciousness will prevail in the world. Continuing to read, Mashiach, of course, would have come in previous generations. Would or could. The Talmud, for example, relates that at the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, a cow lowed twice. The first time meant that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. The second time meant that Mashiach was born. In other words, the potential Mashiach was born immediately after the destruction. And had the children of Israel merited it then, he would have been the actual Mashiach. Although Mashiach could have come in previous generations, the future redemption nevertheless has a greater connection to our generation. Just as the idea of Mashiach is emphasized on the last day of Pesach, although the whole of Pesach is associated with the future redemption. For both are the concept of the gatherer of all the camps, and we accordingly celebrate Mashiach Sulda, specifically on the last day of Pesach. There is still more to the connection between the last day of Pesach and Mashiach. The prophet Yehezkel describes the exodus from Egypt, which took place on the first day of Pesach, as the birth of the Jewish nation. The last day of Pesach, the eighth day, is therefore the day of the circumcision, which is the beginning of the entry of the Holy Soul. Mashiach is the Yechidah, the most sublime level of the soul of the children of Israel. Until the body of jewelry has undergone circumcision, it is not whole. Its holy soul is missing. Moreover, the Alter Rebbe writes, the highest level of circumcision will take place in the future, when Hashem will circumcise your heart, as is prophesied. The Haftorah read on the last day of Pesach is also connected with the Messianic era. It states, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. He will raise a banner for the return. The earth will be full of the knowledge of Hashem. All of these verses refer to the Messianic era. Thus, the relationship between the last day of Pesach and Mashiach. But why do we mark this relationship by eating a meal? Belief in Mashiach is a cardinal tenet of the children of Israel's faith, enshrined as one of Rambam's 13 principles of belief. I believe with perfect faith in the coming of Mashiach, and although he may tarry, I will wait for him every day that he shall come. But abstract belief is not enough. Our intellectual awareness must be translated into concrete action. By eating of Mashiach Sulda, moreover, the food from Mashiach Sulda becomes part of our flesh and blood, and our faith in and yearning for Mashiach permeates not just the soul's faculties, but also the physical body. Mashiach Sulda was initiated by the Baal Shem Tov, and there is good reason why it was by him specifically. In a famous letter to his brother-in-law, Rabbi Gershon, of Quito, the Baal Shem Tov tells of the time he experienced an elevation of the soul to the highest spheres. When he came to the abode of Mashiach, he asked, "When will the Master come?" To which Mashiach replied, "When your wellsprings shall spread forth to the outside." In other words, it is the Baal Shem Tov's teachings and of the Kabbalah which will bring Mashiach, and it is therefore particularly appropriate that it was the Baal Shem Tov who initiated Mashiach Suda on the last day of Pesach. And I would just like to have a commentary that's unwritten here, but verbally, I think it's an important comment. This verse, this story about the Baal Shem Tov is very famous throughout the Hasidic movement, throughout the Hasidic world. It has penetrated even to the Mitnagim, to the opponents, to a different aspect of Orthodox Judaism. It has penetrated to the Reform movement. It has penetrated to the conservative movement. Every last person has heard of this story or touched someone who has heard of this story. The typical understanding is when the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, meaning when the understanding that joy and happiness in everything you do is learned by every person, every child of Israel, when that joy and happiness is manifested, that will signal the coming of Mashiach. But there's a deeper level to that teaching. We discuss it in our classes called You Are Who You Hate. And this teaching is that every human soul started out being connected to Bilam. And over the course of the generations, over the course of various lifetimes, each human soul is progressing toward becoming part of the nation of Israel. When this teaching that Bilam is an accumulation, a unity of all of the souls who have not yet reached being a child of Israel, will become unified with Moshe Rabbeinu, who is an accumulation, a unity of all of the souls of the children of Israel. That's what it takes to bring Mashiach. And that's why we at Hashem spend so much time striving to reach you, my students, but beyond my students, to get this consciousness out into the world. These are the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. These are the teachings of Rabbi Ashlag. These are the teachings of all of my teachers in one way or another, because each of them are speaking to different aspects of my soul. And I am striving to reach different aspects of your soul. Continuing to read. In the time of the Baal Shem Tov, the principal element of the Suda was matzah. The Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, added the custom of drinking 4 cups of wine. Matzah is a poor man's bread, flat and tasteless. Wine, in contrast, possesses taste, but it also induces joy and delight. to the extent that our sages say, Shira is said only over wine. I'm going to skip this next paragraph and read the last paragraph. The four cups of wine also allude to the Messianic age, for which the dissemination of Kabbalah is the preparation. The four cups symbolize the four expressions of redemption. The four cups of retribution, God will force the nations of the world to drink. The four cups of comfort, God will bestow upon the children of Israel. The four letters of Hashem's name, which will be revealed, and the four general levels of repentance, teshuvah. I'm sorry for the length of our discussion today. I'm going to quickly go through our classes this coming week. Tonight we will count the Omer at 8:30 West Coast time, and we will do that every night between now and the 23rd of April, which is the following Sunday, a week from tonight. Monday and Tuesday, there are no classes except for the 8:30 counting of the Omer. Wednesday at 4:30, there is a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, questions and answers, but perhaps if there are no questions and answers, we will delve into a deeper level of the Omer, the spiritual levels, the spiritual understanding of what does accounting do, and why do we do the certain actions that we do in the counting? And why is it necessary to have three levels of counting, even though for many religious communities, there's only two? Thursday at 4:30, it's an advanced reincarnation class. Thursday at 7 o'clock is a Zohar class. And at 8:30, we will count the Omer. Friday at 8:30, we count the Omer. Motzei Shabbat, 6 p.m. West Coast time. And I apologize because we do Havdalah at 6 p.m., and it's a little early for Havdalah on the West Coast. 7 p.m., we have a Zohar class, our first attempt, our first opportunity to connect to the energy of the new week by connecting to the Zohar consciousness, the soul of the Torah. At 8:30, we'll be counting the Omer. Next Sunday, we will be discussing some of the energies associated with that coming week, that week that begins some of the early days of Iyar. It's a week of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. But then again, at 6 p.m. that Sunday the 23rd, that's 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. West Coast time, we will have our beginning class in a series of classes of Lashon Hara, practical applications of how to avoid Lashon Hara, how to not become involved with Lashon Hara. And God forbid if one does hear Lashon Hara, how to avoid falling to the sin. Practical tools. At 8:30 next Sunday night, we will again count the Omer. Does anyone have any questions? I bid shalom to all. I bid a Shavua Tov to all. And I bid a Chag Sameach, a happy Pesach to all. Shalom.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom.